Welcome to another episode of QB List Podcasts. I'm Brett Ford, your host, here with lead analyst Jay Felicio and Chris Helly. We are excited to have football in just under a week. By the time this is published, we'll be almost within 7 days of a real live important football game.
Down to single digits.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast the offseason has gone, how fast the preseason has gone. But Chris, your Eagles will be taking on the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football right around this time next week.
Gotta love hanging a banger on them.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. It's I'm not even going to get into it. I'm not going to – whether Michael Parsons plays or not, I don't know. Is that even going to be a thing? Who knows? It sounds like he might be on a snap count, but that's a perfect transition. We've got news and notes for you today. A lot of interesting things from the football world, a lot of interesting things from the non-football world. We have the pleasure of breaking one of the biggest news stories worldwide on QB List, where Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce and – pop superstar Taylor Swift announced their engagement earlier this afternoon. We're recording on Tuesday night, so it's only been a few hours since we saw the bling bling ring. And I guess the Chiefs are going to go back to the Super Bowl this year. It's already written in the stars, right?
Well, the whole thing, too, have you heard the conspiracy theory that she's going to be the halftime show as well? Something about dropping Easter eggs on the podcast about sourdough and the 49ers mascot, Sourdough Sam. Or my wife was talking about that earlier. And yeah, it's, I mean, let's put it this way. The news made it all the way to my daughter's fourth grade lunchroom because the teachers were screaming when they found out the news. And then, of course, the little girls found the news and they were, now my daughter wants a Travis Kelce jersey.
Yeah, there's something also with 13 is Taylor's number. I don't know what the deal with that is, but Travis Kelce's going into his 13th season. So my girlfriend's like, you got to draft him. It's his breakout. I'm like, he's already been pretty good the past few years, but we'll see how this season goes.
Oh, it's so funny that Taylor Swift fans only know Travis Kelce of 2024 and don't necessarily know how amazing he was in the seasons prior to that. So for him to have a great 2025 would be a renaissance for us and would be a massive breakout for the Swifties out there.
13th year breakout.
Let's move on to some actual on-field football news. Not to downplay the importance of this engagement. It's probably one of the largest pop culture events this decade. But let's get to football. Cincinnati Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson and Washington Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin both get their extensions. Fantasy implications, obviously more for the Commanders, unless of course you're in an IDP league, but what does McLaurin signing mean for the Commanders and all the ancillary pieces there in Washington?
For me, it doesn't really change much. I'm a little down on Terry McLaurin compared to everybody else, just based on, you know, his push into the top 10 of fantasy wide receivers was based on catching 10 touchdowns. Other than that, his stats pretty much across the board were close to his career averages. So I think it's obviously good news for Jaden Daniels. You don't want him to not have a guy like Terry McLaurin. But overall, I think it's the status quo. I'm not concerned about, you know, some people said, oh, we missed practice time and stuff like that. But Terry McLaurin's a vet. He doesn't need, you know, some of the practice reps like some of the younger guys might. If anything, maybe it hurts the small bump that Deebo might have gotten without Terry McLaurin on the field for however many weeks. But overall, I think it's pretty much a push.
Yeah, it's pretty much just security at drafting Terry where he's gone right now. I don't think it really affects how we shape this offense out to be.
Yeah, and he was holding in, not holding out, so he wasn't missing everything.
Did he move it all about?
Yeah, he probably did that.
Me.
That's all right. Let's move on. We move up the Beltway from Washington over to Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson is nursing a lower leg injury. Is this news? Is this not news? Should we be worried? Because the last time the Ravens were hush-hush about an injury this time of year, Mark Andrews ended up putting up a bunch of stinkers. What do we think about this alleged practice mishap for Lamar and how it might affect his week one status?
I think the Ravens are just being precautious. I mean, he's their guy, and I think that, you know, if there's anything that he has that's giving him any issues, it doesn't seem like it's a major injury, so they're just being precautious, holding him out. I don't think it's really anything to worry about for this fantasy season.
Yeah, same. Anytime you, especially a guy like Lamar, you hear lower body injury or leg injury, it, you know, sends off your spidey senses tingling, but I'm with Chris. I'm not really concerned about it at this point.
We'll head down south in Houston, where Joe Mixon is out for at least 4 weeks. He was put on the PUP list to open the season. He will miss weeks 1 through 4, if not more. Where does that leave us in the Texans' backfield?
Yeah, I've actually heard rumors again, and it's rumors, so you can't, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but there's a chance that Joe Mixon may never play football again. I will say that it's very weird the way the Texans have handled this, and there's been next to no news, and apparently he's tried a bunch of different treatments, and nothing seems to be making any sort of impact, so take that for what you will. I just updated my positional rankings. I released running back rankings yesterday, and I took Joe Mixon off the board completely. It's not all the red flags around it. I'm just not considering drafting him anywhere. For the backfield, I'm not interested in Nick Chubb. I love the guy, you know, what he has been over his career, but he's a shell of himself at this point. And Damian Pierce is just a guy to me. I think he definitely fits the run scheme a little better than he has in previous seasons, but I'm really in on Woody Marks. I think that, you know, they traded up to get him. They traded a 2026 third to make the move for him. Shout out to one of our newest members of QB list, Eric Romoff. He's the guy who really brought Woody Marks to my attention. The more I look into it, I really think that he has the opportunity. He's got the talent to, you know, not be a top 12, top 15 guy, but I definitely think if he gets the work, it could be a solid RB2.
Yeah, Brett and I were just talking about the Houston's offensive line, and I think there's a lot of concerns there as is. So with Mixon, it was always a concern that, you know, he's another year on him. You know, how's he going to be this year? He's always been a kind of injury concern guy. So with this going on, I agree. Mixon's pretty much off my board. I really don't want a piece of any of this backfield. I think I see it pretty similarly as Dallas, where I don't think the run game is going to be that strong. I think the offense is going to really lean on their passing game, and there's a chance that all of these guys just split reps in the backfield and none of them are really fantasy relevant.
I don't know, guys. I'm kind of in on Nick Chubb, especially as if he remains going late. Like, if we continue to get a discount there, I mean, this situation feels a little bit similar to Mixon coming over from the Bengals and being kind of this guy that nobody really wanted to draft. And then he got the number one RB job in Houston and over the incumbent Damian Pierce and had his best fantasy season of his career. So I'm not completely out on Nick Chubb. As long as we're continuing to get the discount, I may grab a couple shares. I have a couple of early season shares from when he was very discounted. So I'm a little bit biased towards that as long as he stays inexpensive.
Let me ask you this. I'm pulling up the ADP from Fantasy Pros right now and see where Chubb is going. And maybe I'll throw some names out there and see around him who you would go with, kind of make a list. So right now he's going as running back 48. Would you, right before him is Braylon Allen?
Who, Chubb or Allen? I think week one alone, I think Chubb, but like season long, I'm looking at Allen for sure.
Rachaad White?
Chubb.
Ajay Spears?
Chubb.
Jaden Blue?
Chubb.
Najee Harris?
Chubb.
Tank Bigsby?
Chubb.
Really? Okay, that's
A tough one. That's a tough one for me, but I think frankly, I'm a little bit higher on ETN this year just from what I've seen. I'm a little bit higher on ETN and a little bit lower on Bigsby, but I'm also a little bit higher on Chubb, so I could be wrong.
That makes sense. You had the hesitation in there. At least you had that. So, yeah. And honestly, I'm with you pretty much with every decision up until Tank's Bigsby. So, you know, maybe I would take a shot on Chubb at that point. You know, I'm not willing to pay much of anything, but I'd much rather have him than any of those other guys. I will say, Tajay Spears, I think might be a decent stash, but we can get to that later.
Yeah. Well, now you have a whole bunch of clips of me just saying the word Chubb over and over again. So yes. Use that however you will. Our YouTube shorts might get canceled very quickly. We'll see what happens. Let's move on to the next piece of news. Actually, Tajay Spears. He's going to miss 4 games to open the season on IR with a high ankle sprain. He was seen in a walking boot around the Titans facility. Obviously this benefits Tony Pollard, but talk to me about your Spears stash take, Jay.
Yeah, it's to the point where I was in a draft this past weekend and I got him insanely late. And it, two things. One, it depends if you have deep benches, and two, if your league plays with an IR. Don't waste a roster spot on him if you've got short benches, like 6 or less. But he was already expected to miss extended time at the beginning of the season, so this wasn't like it was a surprise. And as hard as it is to come by running backs, especially, you know, towards the middle of the season, he could come in and he'll get work once he was expected to be involved in this offense. He's going to get some work. I'm trying to pull up my draft board from this weekend and see where he went. But I got him... it's a 12-teamer, and I think we've got like 26 rounds or something like that. And I got him late because I wound up waiting on running back the way that the board fell. So let me see what round I got him in. Yeah, I got him the 14th round of a 12-teamer. So like at that point, I was just, you know what, we've got deep benches. I think we've got like 10 bench spots or something along those lines. I don't mind stashing him on there. I wouldn't waste valuable space if you've got limited bench space, but you know, he is expected back this season.
Yeah, I think if the Titans can kind of change their reputation, and I mean, I want to put all respect on Tony Pollard. I think he's one of the most underrated running backs in the league, just from a production standpoint, what he's been able to do in his career. But Tajay is a young, exciting player. I think if he gets field time, he will be fantasy relevant. I see him kind of similar to how I feel about Kendre Miller. Like, we haven't really seen it all come to fruition, but it's just a matter of opportunity. So, I agree with you, Jay, that, you know, where he's going is a pretty good dart throw to take.
Let's move on from running backs and move on to wide receivers. We go to Las Vegas, where there's a shakeup in the wide receiver room within 4 hours of each other. Star wide receiver Jakobi Meyers requested a trade. And then just a few hours later than that, the Raiders sign one of their former draft picks, Amari Cooper, to a 1-year contract. Cooper comes in, and assuming he's in game shape, he lines up pretty much as the wide receiver 2 out there right behind Myers. Pass catcher 3, probably behind Bowers, but there's a lot of opportunity in that Raiders wide receiver room. I know Deontay Thornton had kind of popped in preseason as the number 2. Jack Beck is there as the number 3, I guess. Trey Tucker's out there too. Talk to me about the impact of potentially gaining Cooper and what you think might happen to Myers with this trade request, whether it's relevant or not.
I was already lower on Myers than most, considering I think this is going to be a low passing volume offense. You know, it is old Pete Carroll, the gum chewer, is taking over, and it's like a poor man's Packers crowded wide receiver room. There's nobody that really stands out outside of Bowers. Bowers is going to be the undisputed number 1, and there's nobody else I'm really interested in, whether Jakobi Meyers is there or not. I think he will be. I coined a term here recently called a McDouble, which is basically a guy, high floor, low ceiling. You know, it's the comfort food. It's there when you need it, but you know, it is what it is. It's not going to be like a nice juicy steak or anything like that. And that's Jakobi Meyers for fantasy. He's a McDouble, and For Amari Cooper, I'm not interested whatsoever. I would much rather take a shot on, you know, a young high upside guy where you're versus wasting a roster spot on him.
Yeah, I remember when the Bills signed Amari Cooper last year and there was a lot of hype. People were rushing out to get him. And I mean, you just do the math on the target share and what he would need to do to be fantasy relevant. And the Bills are another team that don't really focus on a key receiver. So I was kind of fading him at that point. So yeah, this signing with the Raiders is kind of nothing to me. I think if anything, it signals a little bit of fear for the rookies, Thornton and Betch, but I don't have any interest in Cooper. It makes me fade those other guys. I think it's pretty much Bowers and Genty, and that's pretty much all I want out of the Raiders.
It is super fitting that you call guys like Jacoby Myers McDoubles, because McDoubles are no longer on the McDonald's dollar menu. As a matter of fact, the McDonald's dollar menu doesn't exist anymore because everything is too expensive.
But Jacoby what do they Myers, call it now? What do they call it now,
like
Brett?
The way you
they
think.
Call it, they call it the value menu now, not the dollar menu. The value menu. And it's too expensive. Just like Jacoby Myers is too expensive right now.
I might have to sprinkle that in there a little bit in my description. I like that. We're on the same wavelength. I like it.
It's perfect. So Jacoby Myers, the McDouble, too expensive. Let's move on to a couple of potentially surprising cuts out of training camp. Not a ton of fantasy implications, a couple names that may have been drafted in deeper late rounds. Deontay Johnson cut by Cleveland, Hunter Renfro cut by Carolina, Greg Dulcich cut by the New York Giants. Anything surprising or anything especially impactful out of the 53-man roster cutdowns?
I was surprised with the Hunter Renfro cut. I really thought that he was going to make the team. He's looked pretty decent, and honestly, I could see him stepping into a similar role as Adam Thielen, played on this team a few years and these past couple of seasons, and he's a few years younger, so that one shocked me more than anything. Deontay Johnson, I don't know what happened to this guy. He just fell. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys are fans of The Simpsons, but, you know, the episode where Homer's skateboarding and then goes down the cliff, like, that's what's happened to Deontay Johnson over the past year or so. It just blows my mind. And like we talked about before we started recording, I was somewhat surprised, but I'm also with the Dulcich getting cut, but I'm very high on Theo Johnson, and I'm excited to see him with a somewhat competent quarterback.
I thought that Renfro would stick. He was one of my deeper sleepers. The story behind Renfro was, in my opinion, enough to keep him around Carolina because there's not much more headlines there to really
would
talk about.
He would put butts in the seats. He was already getting talked about around. I mean, absolutely.
And, you know, there's not that many positive storylines surrounding the Panthers entering this year. So I thought that maybe it made sense to keep him around. But I think if nothing else, this indicates that whatever rumors are floating about Thielen getting traded to the Vikings are bunk. I think that them cutting Renfro means they don't have space in the slot for him. So take that for what you will. That's an assumption that I'm making. I think the most surprising to me was Dulcich. He looked really good in preseason, especially paired with Jackson Dart. I thought that he might stick. I think he will be scooped up by somebody coming out of camp here. And then Deontay Johnson, somebody had a great tweet about Deontay Johnson. He's been, you know, as his career has gone on, he's gotten better and better at creating separation. He's separated from the Steelers, the Panthers, the Browns, the Ravens, all in
Texans,
a very short
too, right? Wasn't he on the Texans for like 3 days?
The Texans, yeah. So I don't remember who tweeted that, but it was an awesome tweet, and I really appreciate it.
We'll say, too, you had a really good point. You recently recorded a YouTube short that's wanted to bring up. We recently launched a QB list YouTube. Well, right now, it's not too much on there yet, but we're going to be putting podcasts on there throughout the season. We're going to be putting YouTube shorts up. We've got two from our very handsome Brett Ford up there talking about Jackson Dart. And we saw the have a nice little clip of him throwing a touchdown to Greg Dulcich, and then a little Caleb Williams love. The only other video that's on there is our ultimate draft guide, which is me and our fearless leader, Nick Pollock. He jumps over to the fantasy football world, and I try to get him prepared for fantasy season, but I also get to laugh at his pronunciation of most of the player names. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, if you guys like Forehead, make sure you check out our YouTube shorts.
It's a little thin right now, but we're going to start putting out a bunch of content on there.
All right, that does it for news and notes. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk tiers and cliffs in draft ADP this year. And hopefully when we have time, we'll get to risers and fallers throughout the draft season as well. Welcome back to QB List Podcast. I'm Brett Ford here with Jay Felicio and Chris Helly, and we are talking draft tiers and cliffs, just different places in the draft that different positions kind of dry up, and where value might exist elsewhere. Kind of just the trajectory of your draft and how the ideal draft looks at this point of the season. Chris, talk to me a little bit about kind of digging in here and some of the research that you did on, you know, drafts this year compared to last year.
Yeah, I love draft strategy. I've done probably way too many mocks at this point. And as we know, the pendulums are always swinging. So what I did is I took a look and compared last year's ADPs to this year's ADPs. And what I'm trying to identify is, like, for example, the 20th running back off the board last year had an ADP around 58. It's DeAndre Swift. He was going around the end of the fourth round. And in 2025, the 20th running back off the board is being taken almost a full round later. Or I'm sorry, a full round earlier. It's Travion Henderson. He's going right at the end of the third. So I wanted to kind of break it down by position and see, you know, what positions are being attacked earlier, what positions are being attacked later, especially as you're looking at your tiers. And what I found was that drafters are reaching really early for the elite quarterback and tight end, those onesie positions. On average, the top five quarterbacks and the top three tight ends are each going about six spots higher. Last year's fifth quarterback off the board was C.J. Stroud. He had an ADP around 50. That's top of the fifth round. This year's fifth quarterback off the board is Jalen Hurts, and he's going at the end of the third at the ADP of 34. Same with tight end. The tight end three off the board last year was Mark Andrews at 47, right at the end of the fourth. And this year's third tight end off the board is George Kittle. He's being taken 38th overall, right at the start of the fourth. So what this does is it kind of suppresses the other positions, while a lot of people want to reach and grab those elite guys at those single one-off positions. So for running back and wide receiver, these are the foundation of your team. And the number of each of these positions going in the first three rounds is about the same. But when you get outside of the first three rounds, running back 15 through 30 are being drafted on average about seven spots higher, and wide receivers 12 through 24 are about five spots lower. So the way I see it is people view a cliff at the running back position and they're reaching a little bit on those guys to take them ahead of the wide receivers going in the same area.
So what you're finding is, you know, these running backs are kind of being clamored for and being scooped up early. So ideally, if you're in a situation like that, are you zagging while the rest of the league zigs, or are you trying to make sure that you get those early round running backs and kind of falling in line or trying to beat the trend so that you're not behind on that running back run?
Exactly. The latter part of what you said is that I'm putting an emphasis on taking running back early, try to beat the curve there. That way I'm not kind of forcing my hand and taking a running back in the middle rounds where you can get really good wide receiver value.
So instead of getting stuck with like Breece Hall in the fourth or fifth, you're able to grab an elite running back, maybe go hero running back, and then take guys like Rashee Rice, Say Flowers, Tet McMillan in that same draft range that you may have been picking up Hall if you hadn't gotten an earlier running back.
Exactly. There's been a lot of hype on the hero RB draft strategy, and I think it's leaning – this year is actually leaning more into the hero wide receiver. Wide receiver, I mean, especially in PPR – wide receivers score more points than running backs. There's a certain security with running back that establishes the floor for your team. But I think when we talk draft strategy, the first three rounds, I think they're all those guys are essentially, they're setting the floor of your team You don't win the league in the first three rounds, but you can lose it if you pick a bust. So I think when I'm drafting, I'm targeting the safe running back option early. And then you see the volatile wide receivers. Like last year, Rashee Rice was going 68th overall. Terry McLaurin was going 73rd. Chris Godwin, 77. Those guys were all producing great for their teams, for your fantasy teams. It's almost wide receiver one level. So what you can do is by taking running back early, you've given yourself a little bit of leeway to take more swings at the wide receiver position and have a potential lineup that's just loaded from top to bottom. The other thing with quarterback and tight end is that when people are reaching for the top end guys, drafters are also punting the position. So quarterbacks 6 through 11 on average are going about a full round later than they were in years past. Last year's 10th quarterback off the board was Jordan Love. He was going in the sixth round. But this year's 10th quarterback off the board is Brock Purdy going at the end of the seventh, almost the eighth round. Tight ends 5 through 8 are the same story, going about a full round later. Last year's tight end 11 off the board was Brock Bowers, going right at the 7-8 turn at 95 overall. And this year's tight end 11 off the board is Tucker Kraft, and he's going over a round later, start of the ninth round at 109.
Yeah, and we saw that in our staff mock, right, with how late quarterbacks fell in that staff mock draft that we did a couple weeks ago. I was able to get Bo Nix super late in that draft, and Joe Burrow and Pat Mahomes also fell to ridiculous prices, I think to like the sixth or seventh round in that draft. So definitely with you with like those mid-tier guys becoming values, those mid-tier onesies at quarterback and tight end. So ideally, just to kind of summarize your point here, if you could just give me like a 30-second rundown on your full draft strategy, your ideal draft strategy based on what you found, what would it be and why?
My ideal strategy is to take two or maybe even three running backs in the first four rounds to establish a really high floor for my team, and then hit the wide receiver position a machine gun style. I want as many guys to hedge those bets and potentially hit those ceilings for me to make up for the fact that I didn't take a guy in the first few rounds. And then I pretty much am punting at both quarterback and tight end because I think there's just great value there. I think outside of the elite category, in the mock that you referenced, I took Brock Purdy as my last pick in that mock. And he is a absolutely serviceable QB1 to have. So when you're in your draft and you have your safety high floor with running back, you've kind of beaten the curve with the rest of the draft board where everyone else is reaching for those guys who are kind of low-end RB2s to flex guys. And you've given yourself an opportunity to really reach a ceiling in the middle and later rounds at wide receiver.
Excellent. Yeah. And I feel like I've felt that firsthand in the drafts that I've been in this year. So I'm 100% on board with that strategy. I'm really hoping my league mates don't listen to this because I have three extremely important drafts coming up next weekend, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So hopefully they're not hearing this, but that's, if all things go according to plan, I'm planning on drafting very similar to what you just described.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say, I agree with the point overall. I tend to draft that way anyways. I like to go after running backs early. I do. I'm old school, been doing playing fantasy since the late 90s, since a lot of people listening before they were born. But you know, back in my day, it was the first three rounds was nothing but running back. So took me a while to get off of that. But the point you made earlier, I think should be emphasized too, is even though you're trying to establish a safe floor and get running backs early, I wouldn't reach based off of tier. So like if there's a tier three running back, but a tier two wide receiver, personally, I would go with a tier two receiver, depending on, you know, how the draft board's falling and stuff like that. But if, you know, you're looking at guys like, it depends on the players, but like a Breece Hall, David Montgomery, even a guy like Jordan Mason, but Ladd McConkey, well, he probably won't be there, but the Pukas, the Garrett Wilson, DJ Moore, those guys kind of on the fringe. I would personally go with one of those guys. It depends on, the main thing is going in, being able to go in with a plan, but be flexible based on what the draft board gives you.
Yeah, that's well said. I think that people get caught up with these strategies and they try to identify specific players they're going to take in a certain round, and you have to be flexible like that. Right. So I appreciate you clarifying that that's my preference and my way of approaching the draft, but I'm not going to reach on a running back in the third round just because this is the way that I view the board playing out.
Exactly. Now, if you can get the Travion Henderson around that time, then I'm smashing that all day. But he's got a little helium in his ADP.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not Mandalorians around here. You know, there's no this is the way. It's you know, we're very, very flexible. We try to, Jay, I know I've heard you say it before, be water during your draft.
Be water.
And kind of take what comes to you and do the things that make sense from a value standpoint, from a ceiling standpoint. But it's great to have a plan. Right?
Yep.
Just make sure you have a plan B and a plan C and a plan D.
Exactly. And I think what you said, Chris, about the quarterbacks is exactly what's happening there. Is, you know, there was everybody, you know, wanted quarterbacks early, and that's why late QB got popular. Then the past couple of seasons, you know, with the ADPs dropping, the elite quarterbacks became a value. Now everybody's going back to taking quarterbacks early and now the late guys. So it's a pendulum. It's been playing fantasy long enough, like you said it exactly. Every few years, everything swings back and forth. That's, you know, you play the values.
Yeah, I think the other thing with QB is that with the pendulum swinging toward the higher end guys, it was because of the rushing upside. And the league as a whole is drafting a lot more mobile quarterbacks. So in fantasy, we have to react to that as well. There are guys like even J.J. McCarthy, but like Justin Fields going in the much later rounds that have the same rushing security that the guys at the top of the board have.
That's why I might throw up a little bit in my mouth saying this, but that's why I see Daniel Jones as somewhat of a post-type sleeper for fantasy. Is he's got the rushing floor. If he could just be a half-decent quarterback, then, you know, he can – I mean, he's got a QB1 season in him with the atrocious New York Giants offensive line, and the Colts, if they're healthy, have one of the best offensive lines in the league, so –
Everything that you all just said is exactly why I will have almost 100% Drake May.
Like it.
Great pick.
I know I don't have any shares of Drake May, but I also took a lot of Travion Henderson, and I tried to avoid quarterback running back on the same team, which I'm still out. The jury's still out if that's the right thing to do or not. But
so, Jay, I actually had done a little bit of a research project into that specifically, and how people like to target quarterback and receiver sacks and tend to fade stacking those awkward QB and a running back or running back and receiver. And in reality, the hit rate is about the same. I think actually the edge goes to quarterback and running back on the same team, having a higher hit rate of both top 12 guys, a mix of a QB1 and a RB2 or vice versa. Quarterback running back is slightly more common than a quarterback receiver stack. And then
I think
check
that out if you don't mind sending that over to me. Is there a noticeable trend on the level of offense with that? Like, that's always been my thing. Like, I'm more likely to take a chance on that if it's a better offense. And as much as I love Travion Henderson and Drake May, I'm not so sure, not too high on the Patriots offense this season.
Yeah, it's in one of my scratchbook spreadsheets that I got millions of them. So
we should dig into that. I think that's a really good. You know, maybe we can have an episode on it, or you know, I'll collaborate on an article or something. Or I think there's something there.
Absolutely.
I love it. We could talk draft strategy all day long, all night long, for the next 10 days until the season starts. But we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk risers and fallers after this. Welcome back to QB List Podcast. I'm Brett Ford here with Jay Felicio and Chris Helly. We talk draft strategy. We talk news and notes. Now it's time to move on to our risers and fallers. We've seen a lot of guys change their draft price, whether it's gone way, way up, like several of the younger players in our drafts, or way, way down because of injuries, because of other concerns, because of injuries surrounding them. We've got a handful of guys whose prices have changed, and we want to make note of it and basically either validate or invalidate those rising or falling prices and figure out whether or not they're still draft values where they're currently going. So we'll start in the New England backfield. We were just talking about New England before the break. let's talk about their rookie running back, Travion Henderson. Obviously, there's concern that he might split time with Ramondre Stevenson, but based on the hype in preseason and basically the eye test, really, more than anything, his draft price has risen significantly all the way up into the third round of most drafts. What do we think about Travion Henderson's new draft price?
I'm willing to pay that price. I think he's going to be the best rookie running back of this class. Obviously, Omarion Hampton might have something to say about that, but it looks like he is going to be the focus of this offense. We saw the explosiveness. Granted, it's the preseason, but I mean, this offense is in dire need of playmakers. And all reports right now are they plan on making him the focus of this offense. And he's still at a relatively decent ADP. Last time I checked, and I'll pull it up right now, his ADP currently is still RB20. I would gladly pay, honestly, up until RB14, 15. I think that's probably the max I would pay. I think that's about where you start getting past the risk versus reward threshold. But I'm all in.
Jay, I think you got one of the running backs, Ashton Jeanty, in this class. So if you want to take a bet that Travion's going to outscore Jeanty, I'll gladly take the other side.
Yeah, let's do it. You know what? I'm in there. Although I love Jeanty. I mean, I rank Jeanty in my elite tier. But you know what? Let's have a little fun with it. I'll make that bet.
Putting the proverbial money where his mouth is, Jay is taking Travion Henderson to outscore Ashton Jeanty on a points per game basis in 2025. I love it. The bold takes going against the chalk, Jay. I'm not on board with your side, but I'm very happy to see you take it. It's fun.
This is not a me down on Jeanty at all. I'm drinking the Travion Henderson Kool-Aid.
Yeah, for me, I think that backfield's going to be split for at least the first three, maybe even 4 weeks. I think it's going to take a little bit for Henderson to earn his way. And I think he had a little bit of injury concerns in college. So for me, I think the draft price is probably appropriate right now. I don't know if I would take him much higher just because I don't want a slow start to the season for a guy I'm taking in maybe the third round. But I mean, the talent's there. If he's in getting the ball in open space, he's one of the most explosive guys you can have out there. So, I mean, I'm on board with him as a talent, but as far as where he's being drafted right now, I'm still a little bit shaky with it.
Yeah, I agree there. I think that in most cases, Travion Henderson is going to be my RB2 based on the way that I've been drafting. So for me, whether or not I draft Travion Henderson is going to be dependent on who my RB1 is. If my RB1 is a Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, Bijan Robinson, more of like an early round sure thing with a higher floor, I am happy to take a bigger question mark in Travion Henderson than I am if my first round running back is Christian McCaffrey, who I may want a more secure running back to, in which case I'm probably looking at a guy like Chase Brown or James Cook, assuming that they fall to me. So it depends for me. I don't mind it, but it goes a little bit into roster construction for me, whether or not I'm taking Travion Henderson. So I'm not down on him, but I'm not super high on, not as high as Jay is, but
I'm all in. I know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. With that being said, I would draft Ashton Jeanty way before I would draft Travion Henderson. I just would like to clarify that. Although I took that bet, I'm not crazy yet. Jeanty is a special talent.
Let's take a look at another running back, Tennessee Titans running back Tony Pollard. Tyjae Spears goes down in the preseason. Pollard is set to benefit from that, and he has ballooned in his ADP all the way up to running back number 25. Jay and Chris, talk to me about whether or not you like Tony Pollard at that price going ahead of guys like Caleb Johnson, Tyrone Tracy, Jaylen Warren, Jordan Mason.
Yeah, I would take him above all of those except for maybe Jordan Mason. I think that people forget how good he was when he was in Dallas. And even last year, he was still producing at, I think he was RB25 last year. And that was with an offense that really didn't have a passing attack. So if Cam Ward brings anything to the table, I think that might open up some opportunities for him. Tajay Spears is out of the way to start the season. I mentioned it before. I think he's a really underrated talent in the league. And at his ADP, I'll take that all day.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I would still probably take Caleb Johnson over him because Spears is expected to come back. And I think Caleb Johnson does have the upside towards the end of the season to take over that backfield. But I agree with everything you said, and kind of to take a little bit of what you said too, Brett, really depends on roster construction. Pollard is a higher floor, not necessarily the same ceiling as some of those guys. But with Tajay Spears on the IR, going to miss the first four games, he might have the most carries out of any running back not in that top tier through the first 4 weeks. So he's gonna have a lot of work and, you know, follow the volume in fantasy.
Oh, we're running a little bit short on time, so we're going to move along to one more running back before we move on to wide receiver. And that's Washington Commanders rookie Jacory Bill-Crosky-Merritt. With the Brian Robinson trade, he has skyrocketed all the way up to running back 39, according to Fantasy Pros. Actually, looks like he may have jumped all the way up to running back 34 based on their most recent rankings. So this is a guy that was going largely undrafted early in draft season. He performs in preseason. He has some opportunity open ahead of him. And now he's looking like maybe the starting running back or the starting early down running back in Washington. You talk about drinking the Kool-Aid. Feels like the entire fantasy industry is in on him. Jay and Chris, are we jumping on board with Bill?
I'm out on little Bill at this ADP. Obviously, where you were getting him before, sure, absolutely take the shot. But yeah, there's it's not worth it, especially with it's going to be a crowded backfield. Austin Eckler, honestly, I was out on Austin Eckler before Brian Robinson was traded. I think he's going to be the best value. He's going to get the PPR work. Chris Rodriguez is going to be involved. Jaden Daniels is going to be involved. So it's just not worth it. I would much rather take the guys going around him, the Jordan Masons, the Judkins is going around him. I would rather stash Judkins, J.K. Dobbins, Scadabo. So yeah, I'm not paying that price for somebody who is, the preseason darling in light of what was the running back for Detroit that off went a couple years, I mean probably like 10 years ago now, that had that one preseason run. Yes, the one preseason run, and he was drafted his entire fantasy draft stock for a solid 5-6 years was off of that one run. And that was, I actually found out because I wrote it, put it in an article, that was the longest run of his career in a professional setting.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm kind of out on Bill. I think it's the rose-colored glasses with new youth coming in and Eckler being a little bit older. But having Brian Robinson shares last year, I was a little focused on this offense. And Eckler was very good for this team. And I don't think that – I mean, he missed a little bit of time with a concussion. And if it weren't for that, I think there would be a lot more respect behind his name. And I think this is just a little bit of a rookie fever going on.
One thing I noticed last year was how much the Commanders love Chris Rodriguez. Like there's an irrational amount of love for Chris Rodriguez. It's not like he's really done anything, but I mean, they just give him the ball for no reason. I mean, they did last year when they had Brian Robinson in the backfield, they were giving him the ball. He had 11 carries against the Giants. He had 13 carries for 94 and a touchdown against the Titans last year. Like this is a guy with game experience that the Commanders really like. So the fact that Chris Rodriguez is just basically being ignored in Jacory Crosky-Merritt's draft price is wild to me. And I'm not paying it. I'm not paying my bill.
He actually, the reason he's called Bill is because of, they said when he was younger, he had a short haircut and he looked like little Bill. That's where it actually came from.
Let's move on to wide receivers. We've got some risers here. Terry McLaurin has jumped up draft boards. Of course, he just signed an extension. And let me just move over to the wide receivers here. So McLaurin is climbing all the way up to wide receiver 17, according to the most recent Fantasy Pros ADP rankings. McLaurin obviously locked into a Commanders uniform for quite some time now, finally gets his bag. We're all very excited for F1. Are we paying the draft price?
Jay and I might disagree here, but I am. I've been a Terry McLaurin fan for his whole career. It's been a real shame that he hasn't had a quarterback until last year. I think Jay had pointed out his touchdown rate last year was really high, so people are expecting that number to regress. But I think people weren't really as keen on what Cliff Kingsbury was doing with that offense to kind of ramp Jaden Daniels up throughout the season. So I think they were doing a lot more short area screen game stuff that Terry really wasn't too involved for the first few weeks until probably midway through the season when the team really felt comfortable letting Jaden rip it. And that's when Terry really exploded. So I trust the talent. I trust him. I trust Jaden. I think that he's the number one for this team. I think he's going to maintain his target share. I'm willing to pay wide receiver 17, sure.
Yeah, we are going to disagree a little here. And I was all in on Scary Terry. I'm a big fan as well. But the history just suggests that wide receivers, I did an article earlier in this offseason called Stats That Lie, and I dug into wide receivers who have caught 10 touchdowns in a season. And let me pull that. From 2020 to 2024, there's been 18 different wide receivers that have accounted for 31 instances of catching 10 or more touchdowns. Only six of them were able to accomplish the feat in consecutive seasons. Not saying that Terry won't ever do it again, but it's a really low percentage of that happening again. And of the 18 that did it, there was only eight that were ever able to do it again in their career. Now that's, you know, that's looking at the past things. Records are meant to be broken, all that, yada, yada. But the thing, the reason that I wouldn't say I'm down on Terry McLaurin, but out on him at his draft cost is the rest of his stats were pretty close to his career averages. Going into last year, he averaged 121 targets, 75 receptions, 1,056 yards, 8.7 targets per game, and 14.2 yards per reception. Last year, 117 targets, 82 receptions, 196 receiving yards, 9.4 yards per target, and 13.4 yards per reception. So a couple were up, a couple were down, but overall, they were virtually the same. There is a little more target competition as well with Deebo Samuel. I think he's going to have a role in this offense. That's just, I feel like where you're drafting Terry McLaurin is close to his ceiling. I don't think he has another top 10 fantasy season in him, just based on the offense that he's in. And
so Jay, let's spin your game back on you, and I'll list Terry and a few other names and I like see where the line is.
All right.
Terry or Marvin Harrison?
Marvin Harrison.
Terry or Garrett Wilson?
Garrett Wilson.
Terry or DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
Terry or Courtland Sutton?
This is where it starts to get interesting for me. This is where I think I might fall back on the whole roster construction thing, but all things else being equal, I'd probably go Courtland Sutton.
Courtland Sutton. All right. And how about one more, Devontae Smith?
Yeah, I'd go Terry. It would be, and honestly, you asked me the Courtland Sutton question three more times, and the answer might be different every single time. That's pretty close to where the line is.
I think I would lean Terry pretty firmly there. I think Terry and Courtland Sutton are very, very similar players in career arcs, and I've loved them both through their whole careers, and I'm glad that they finally got their quarterbacks. But going into this season, I think I would also give the edge to Terry.
I am very, very in on Terry. Like, I'm really in on Terry. I don't know. I don't know how high of a draft price I'm willing to pay. Maybe like fourth round.
That's what it is for me this year is the draft. Like I was super in on him last year, but you could get him two or three rounds later.
Right. And it's tough for me because we just talked about how, you know, we want to pound running back early and then hit those value wide receivers later. There's going to be a lot of places where Terry McLaurin is my wide receiver one. And I'm completely okay with that. I firmly believe in him this year. I know that everything went right for him last year, but I think that some of that is, you know, luck is preparation meets opportunity. And I think that it can repeat itself, maybe not with the touchdowns, but I think that the success, the air yards, everything can repeat itself in 2025. And I'm willing to take him ahead of guys like Marvin Harrison, like Garrett Wilson, like Jackson Smith and Jigba, and flirting with taking him ahead of T. Higgins. That's where my line is. I'm up near like wide receiver 12, 13, as opposed to like wide receiver 20. Yeah, I know. It's.
Hey,
I'm bullish.
I get it. I would not be surprised if he makes me look like an idiot. Like it would not shock me whatsoever. He's got the talent. And actually I was working on before we started recording my updated wide receiver ranks. I had a really hard time with him. I've at one point I had him as high as wide receiver, 16, 17. Right now I've got him in the 20s. I don't know where he's gonna sit once I'm finished, but that will you'll be able to find out when this is probably the same day that this is published. I'm still tweaking the rankings and figuring out where my final destination is gonna be.
Oh, we've got a little bit more time. There's one rookie wide receiver that we absolutely need to touch on, and that is Tampa Bay wide receiver Emeka Egbuka. He has absolutely skyrocketed up draft boards based on a guy who has been labeled a faller, Chris Godwin, his injury concerns. Now, Godwin not put on the IR, so he's not guaranteed to miss four games, but he's certainly looking like he's going to miss an extended period of time opening the season. And of course, Egbuka benefiting from that, he has risen all the way up draft boards to wide receiver 33, going around guys like Travis Hunter, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Chris Olave. And he's a guy that I'm super excited about too, man. I am drinking the Kool-Aid on Emeka Egbuka. And I have a feeling that I'm going to have to overpay to get him.
Yeah, I mean, his career in Ohio State's, he's always been kind of overlooked by some of the other guys that have been there just because of how many great receivers come out of there. Jeremiah Smith should be the real deal when he gets to the league. Marv was there. So, yeah, I think he was kind of overlooked in pre-draft scouting portfolios, but I think he's the real deal, and he's got a really good opportunity. It's a great landing spot for him. We had mentioned Chris Godwin was a value last year. And with him being out in preseason is pretty big for Egbuka to get those, build that chemistry with Baker. And another name we didn't really mention yet is Jalen McMillan and how he's going to be out for the year. So the opportunity is almost a guarantee. We like Baker. We like this offense. We like the offensive line. And the opportunity's there. And, you know, Mike Evans is still Mike Evans when he's on the field, but he missed some time last year with a hamstring injury. He's another year older. If there's any chance that Godwin's not 100%, if Evans misses any time, Egbuka could have a real ceiling in front of him.
Again, one thing real quick, you said that McMillan was out for the season. He was placed on IR designated to return. He's going to miss most of the season, though. The earliest he could come back is until October. And then by that time, it's a neck injury. So it very well could be. I just wanted to clarify that. I mean, I agree with pretty much everything you guys said. And two guys I was super in on last year was Terry McLaurin and Chris Godwin. They were huge values, and they performing at Chris Godwin, unfortunately, suffered the severe ankle injury. Chris Godwin's another guy that I've pretty much taken off my board as well. Even if he does return, the history for wide receivers especially, but just position players in football in general coming off of a severe ankle injury is not good, considering his age, considering the talent around him. And I think that, like you said, the Jalen McMillan being out for most, if not all of the year is pretty much opens up tons of opportunity for him. Where he's at now is probably about as high as I'm willing to draft Igbuka. Legitimately, I could see where he could finish as a wide receiver one. Everything would have to break right. But I don't want to overpay. And, you know, Brett, you just said if you have him on your team, you're probably going to have to overpay. And I think right now, at this point for the drafts left before the season, I think you hit the nail on the head. If you want him on your team, you're going to have to overpay. Actually, in our 14-team community league for QB list, he went right before me in the third round, I think. Let me pull the draft board up.
Wow, so like a top 40 pick.
I'm sorry, I was way off there. It was the fifth round. So okay. He went 513.
A top 70 pick.
And I took Zay Flowers and Roma Dunze after him. So it was those guys. It was before Judy and before Travis Hunter, the guys that are still on the board. Chris Olave, Jacoby Myers, Jordan Addison, Diggs. So
here's one. There's two trendy names for you. You got to pick one. Emeka Igbuka or Ricky Pearsall?
Igbuka.
I mean, they're going right next to each other, 33 and 34 right now.
I think Igbuka has the talent to be a wide receiver one. I don't think Pearsall does. And I think Kittle's going to be the one that benefits the most of these guys going out. And as soon as San Francisco opens up the checkbook, I think Jennings' injury is going to all of a sudden feel a lot better.
Yeah, that was a coin flip for me, but Jay, you just turned the dial for me. I think I'd also go with Igbuka there.
Yeah, and by the way, Jay, you said Igbuka went before Zay Flowers. There's no way I'm taking Igbuka over Zay Flowers this year.
I'm with you.
And that's not
honestly Odunze. I would still take over Igbuka. He's a name that likes to stir up some emotions. People are in or out on Odunze, but I would still take him over at Buka.
Last call, risers, fallers. Anybody you want to talk about before we get out of here?
I think we just mentioned Pearsall, and Juwan Jennings is the name that's kind of fallen behind right now with his calf injury, a contract situation. There's a lot of question marks, and we're a little impatient. Our drafts are now. We got to find someone that we have faith in drafting. So, I think he's fallen down the boards a bit, and honestly, I don't have a problem with it. I'm willing to. I think I trust Ricky Pearsall to fill that role. I think he's going to be involved. The situation with Jennings feels a little shaky. I wasn't drafting many shares of him at his ADP, and I don't think I'm reaching too far to buy the dip with him either.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's still. I mean, guys going around him: Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Matthew Golden. Yeah, I would still, if he continues to fall and, you know, he goes down more towards the wide receiver 50 range, then I'd be a little more interested, but I'm still out on Jennings where he's going.
Yeah. All of those things that you listed, all those question marks about the San Francisco offense is why I am all in on CMC.
Make sure you get some Brian Robinson Jr. in there as well, though, because if, the thing is,
no handcuffs. No handcuffs. We don't handcuff around here. He's going to be healthy. Right. He's going to be healthy, or we're going to go down with the ship. Like, it is what it is.
That's the way to play. No risk it, no biscuit.
You're going to see me just playing the violin on the bridge of the Titanic, just sinking into the cold water at the end of the season, or that, or waving the flag, one or the other.
Or raising the ship.
That's right. That's right. One or the other.
If he stays healthy, he will be leading people to fantasy championships.
There's no in between, and I'm here for it. Before we go, Jay, tell the people where they can find you and your work.
Find me on Twitter at GMNJ, and you can find my work at the wonderful website, QBList.com. And make sure you check out our YouTube page. It's like I said earlier, it is right now. The content is sparse, but that is going to change very quickly as the season comes along. Start putting our podcasts up there, clipping some stuff, doing some pre-recorded shorts. There's going to be a lot of valuable content on there.
Chris, let the people know where they can find you and your work.
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Chris Helly QBL, Twitter and Reddit. My work is also on QB List. I have a few preseason articles in the works right now, being published this week, and I'll be supporting a little bit of sit start suggestions throughout the season and our What We Saw series.
Beautiful. I'm Brett Ford. You can find me at Fade That Man on social media. You can find me in the QB List Discord, on Reddit, on Twitter, all that good stuff. And make sure you check out our work on QBList.com. What We Saw column is coming out. We'll have the Thursday night game covered on Friday mornings, the Sunday slate covered on Monday mornings, and the Monday night football game covered on Tuesdays. So we get all the games. Every single regular season game is covered, and we're here for it. So super excited to have football. By the time we talk next week, it'll be football season. So super excited for that. And super grateful for you guys being here with me tonight. So on behalf of QB List, on behalf of Jay and Chris, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week where we have real football.